Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, January 15th, and we're excited you're back with us. We're live, and we got a great guest in the studio as well. Today I'm joined by a beautiful lady named Christina. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for being here. And so we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. I have a lot of stuff to catch up on and things like that. And mainly the fact that if you notice, Christina, I'm growing a beard, right?
Yeah.
Now, so have you seen pictures of me without the beard?
I don't think so. I met you with a beard, maybe.
Right.
I don't,
well, check out on the website and stuff on Facebook. I look quite different, okay?
Oh, wow.
The guest
really
is shorter, yeah. So I've been trying to look younger in my... in my old age, definitely growing a white beard is not a way to do it, right?
I mean, I think a little scruff is nice.
Yeah, I know. Many women have said that to me, and I'm taking it into consideration, but I'm such a clean cut, clean shaven type of guy that I can't, you know, and even if I did...
You don't want me to judge you, basically.
Right, yeah. And the funny thing is that even if I... if I trim it, I mean, if I decide to keep it, I'll have to trim it, you know. Doesn't look good on the neck and all that stuff. It's too scruffy, you know.
I don't know, maybe
it's all right. You don't have to say nice things. It's okay. I can talk about myself. But the reason I'm growing this, and I explained this last week, is because my father passed away last week.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And it's been tough, but at the same time, it's kind of brought the family together,
yeah.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
it's not like a terrible ending at all. But so being Jewish in the Jewish religion, it's traditional that the sons who are left behind, whether it's a mother or a father
right.
that passes, you don't shave or cut your hair for 30 days. So there you are. I'm actually only about 10 days into it. It's going to get long, man. I'm going to look like a Santa Claus, I'm telling you. I'm like looking at pictures of guys with white beards. I'm going, man, that's not where I belong. So you'll see. I'm going to get darker again and no beard. So everybody, if you like it, enjoy it while it lasts. But... yeah, I'm just not a beard kind of guy. But at any rate, Christina, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Let's find out a little bit about you. Are you originally from LA?
I am. I was actually born here. So I'm not a transplant. I know.
Wow. Not many people are born here.
I know.
Let me tell
you,
right?
Close by, just at Northridge Hospital.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Wow.
And
so what was it like growing up for you here? Do you like it?
I actually moved when I was 3 to Princeton, New Jersey. So I was raised on the East Coast.
Oh,
and then my
okay.
family all ended up back here. And so in high school and stuff, I ended up back in Northern California and then came back to Southern California.
Oh, wow. So you had to move around.
I did, yeah.
Which causes people to sort of like you're not able to plant any roots anywhere, right? Because
right.
you end up like having to leave.
Yes, I've been right? back and forth a lot. But my mom, she... bought a house here, and so my aunt lives here, and I'm from a Persian family, so you end up being pretty relatively close
or else
to the
family,
yelled at,
right?
Yeah. So I've spent a lot of time here, yeah.
That's cool. But you got a lot of East Coast mentality, would you say?
You know, I used to. I think I've been a little Californized.
Really?
Yeah. Lived here too long.
Yeah. No, and your parents, were they from L.A. too?
Yes.
Or were they from back east?
They were
originally
both
from LA.
Here, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
they just moved to Princeton. Why? What was
my dad's job.
Oh,
they
I
moved,
see.
Yeah, they were so they immigrated here. And my mom was Persian. She passed away 3 years ago. So I understand what you're going
through. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, thank you. And then my dad is Armenian.
Yeah.
So they ended up in L.A., and then we moved to Princeton, and then we kind of moved around.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. So, yeah, I moved around quite a bit, too, like within almost the same city when I was really young. My parents moved about like 4 or 5 times, you
oh,
know,
wow.
by the time I was 16. So even though it was close still, as a kid, you're not that mobile and stuff.
Right.
And so I would have to leave my friends and find new friends.
Yeah, exactly.
And new school. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for a kid, right?
It is hard. But I think it builds in you an ability to kind of mesh well with people.
That's true. And fit in everywhere,
yeah,
right?
Fit in everywhere. Kind of talk to people
That's
easily.
True. So it's not all negative,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Plus you get to meet a lot of new people.
Yeah.
You discover new places and so forth. So that's pretty cool.
Right.
You can say you've lived on both coasts, you know.
Right. And it's kind of crazy because I lived across the street from this guy when I grew up in Princeton. And I lost touch with him for maybe 15 years because we moved around. And then I just found out last week he's living across the street from me in L.A.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And
Whoa.
I was like, what? That's crazy.
It really is.
Yeah,
huh?
I know. It's weird how things work.
Yeah. A lot of New York transplants here for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in a couple of minutes, we'll be joined by our guest, and I guarantee we're going to have a fun show. I just wanted to bring up a couple things. Did you hear about the false alarm in Hawaii?
I did.
I mean,
I
was
did.
That something or
That's
what?
That's insane. People's stories are crazy.
Yeah. You know, for those of you who didn't hear, Hawaii over the weekend got this alert for an ICBM, which is Intercontinental Ballistic Missile
Casual.
Attack. And people got it on their phones and everywhere. And it says, check out what it says. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. I mean, what if you got something like this?
That's
Wouldn't you, like, freak out?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, I mean, it's like, where do you go?
I know.
What do you do? We're not even prepared for this shit. So, and then it turned out to be a false alarm. And people, understandably, were really irritated about this. So now they're saying that Hawaii's credibility is under fire, and that's pretty bad.
I heard it was a coworker or an employee by accidentally pushed a button.
Yeah,
pushed
the wrong template.
Sent out this whole thing.
I know it's
people.
Like what is this? Yeah. You know, I mean, hitting the wrong template during a routine drill. Yeah. Oh my God, man! They got to put his testicles in a. An advice or something.
It didn't end well for him.
No, wow, man. How scary is that,
yeah.
right? You start
I heard like
all of a
serious stories about people that were like really scared. And then I heard a story of a guy who was like, I was at a buffet. We got this message and everyone ran out.
Whoa.
And, you know, people are like, well, what did you do? And he's like, I mean, I just got to the front of the line. I was like, wow. I wish I had that personality.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Also, Dennis Rodman was arrested for DUI. Surprise, surprise. So this guy, the funny thing about it is he claims that he's not an alcoholic, yet he was arrested twice for drunk driving.
Yeah.
And and then in 2004 when he was arrested, they put him in a 30-day house arrest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
He has twice entered the rehab center for alcohol use and appeared on Celebrity Rehab. Yeah.
Wow.
But he maintained he does not excessively drink alcohol. He says, I'm not an alcoholic. An alcoholic drinks 7 days a week. I don't drink 7 days a week. When I drink, I don't hurt anybody. I don't have no DUIs. Nothing like that. Yet, you know, he obviously had two of them before
right.
that.
I wonder if he'll define it differently now.
So this guy is like, I mean, he's a walking joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, before we get to our guest, on the show here, we talked last week about Amazon and everything and how it's swallowing everybody. And so now they just said that Jeff Bezos, the CEO, is the richest man in history.
Wow.
He's worth $105 billion.
Wow. And, I can't even comprehend how many zeros.
Right? Right?
That's
like
that's
unbelievable
insane.
Amount of money. And that's, I mean, $105 billion, that's more than the GDP, the gross product of some countries.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I think a lot.
Yeah, and that's what he's worth. I mean, and understandably so. I mean, he's really disrupted so much.
He has.
In the
so
economy and
changing.
Business, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and we've talked about Amazon. I'll continue talking about it sometimes because I'm reading a book right now called The Four. Mm-hmm. And it talks about the DNA of Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Google. And it's amazing to find out how these four companies have us by the testicles, you know?
I mean, it's true.
It's like they own programmed. Everything, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And they're saying the good news, though, is that they all hate each other.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll keep them in check, you know?
Right.
So that's that. But Jeff Bezos, what can I say? All right, so Christina, I brought in a guest today,
All right.
a very good friend, longtime friend, Max Tucci. Welcome to the show, Max.
Good morning.
Welcome. Man, I love when you're here, when you're not here. You're not in L.A. that often, but even when you're not, you call into the show, you listen.
I do.
I love you, man. You're amazing. So you've had a show here with us for nearly 10 years.
This May will be 10 years.
Right. Yeah. It started with... To the Max. And now it's Max and Friends, but still the name Max remains because you're the star of your own show.
I am. We are all the stars of my show. You know, like I say, if it weren't for everyone tuning in and if it weren't for my guests, it would be like, you know, a very boring show.
Yeah, right?
It would just be me talking to no one. So.
Yeah, but you definitely got the personality, Max.
Thank you.
So you're in LA on your endless voyages around the world.
My endless voyage.
Yeah, right.
It's the modern day.
Where are you calling home these days, though?
Where do you live the most?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
you know, I really don't know where I live the most.
Really?
I was here last week. I went back to Florida. I'm back here again. Where I am right now is where I'm supposed to be.
So no one home, huh? I mean, wow, I can't imagine living like that, huh?
No, your mileage account must be great.
It is great.
You get a lot.
You know, but home-wise, you know, home is where I have the best times, you know? And it's like we have this concept that home, I have to have this structure, and that's my home. For me, it's like we have a whole world and universe to explore.
Yeah.
That's
so,
true.
You know,
but your family
get
is back east, right? Your family, most of them in New York?
Well, you know, my mother, moved to Florida. The joke was I moved to Boca before my mom did. You know, and we were always going there growing up. And then I was like, you know what? Fuck these snowstorms. I'm moving to Florida.
Yeah.
And then my mom followed. So my mom's now actually in Florida, 15 minutes away from me.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I grew up in New York and my sister's still in Connecticut and... You know, I traveled the world, Colorado, Italy, California,
Very
Florida.
Awesome, man. Now, your sister just got married, right? I saw on Facebook or something, right?
What a story.
Or had a baby or whatever.
Yeah, both.
Both?
Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
I remember
times she was posting about being frustrated.
Well, you know, at 40, most women who are in relationships, I think, find themselves frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, and... I said, whatever spell she did, she needs to package that shit and write a book.
Pass it on, yes, please.
But yeah, what was amazing is that she reconnected with her high school sweetheart after 20 years.
Wow.
And he phoned her and was like, listen, I don't want to lose you again.
Wow.
And he was in a marriage, didn't have children, got divorced and did the right thing, called her after the divorce instead of, you know.
What a good story.
And they reconnected, got married, and have a baby.
Wow, aww. What a story, huh?
That is a good story.
20 years later.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
She should write a book.
You know, and I think that just goes back to life in general. It's like, you know, whoever's meant for you, they'll be for you.
You think you'll find them?
Do I think what?
Do you think you'll find the one that's meant for you? Not you.
Oh,
but everybody, yeah. No.
I got the one for me, motherfucker.
No, you said you were talking about
one in general.
Yeah, in general.
Yeah, I think, people in general, you know, whoever's meant for that person, they'll come to you. And, you know, you just have to, you know, my show, even though it's a variety talk show, there's a lot of
inspiration,
wisdom, and just life lessons. When you surrender to who you're supposed to be with and just the universe or the divine or this moment, it all happens. When you force relationships, when you force love, that's like the biggest red flag to do in relationships.
You're
just
right.
Like let it happen naturally. You know, like flowers bloom naturally. No one tells the flower what to do.
Yeah.
And we tell ourselves how we think the best thing for us to do is, and that usually sabotages ourselves.
Right, we know nothing, right?
That's great advice. I'm leaving here today with great advice.
But that's relationship. You know, it's like, and also the reality is that I had the conversation yesterday that love isn't controlling.
No.
You
right.
know, love is about freedom. Love is about communal. Love is, when you go back to who we were as humanity without the structure that we created today, we were cave people.
Right.
You know, there was like
hunters
a communal
and
love and communal.
Yeah,
and
we
lived in communities. We were communal. Yeah.
Right.
You know, now we build walls and have gated communities. And we're like, you stay in, you stay out. Like, don't ring my doorbell or you can't come in. You know, it's like, that's how life
is. Yeah, it's all over the place, man.
That's how life is.
But I'm glad for her. Your sister's beautiful. And
Thank you.
And from what you described in the... we never really talked about your sister, but from how you describe her, sometimes I think in social media, you know, things like that, I get that she's a pretty cool person. I remember she used to post a lot. Now she doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
But she seems nice. I mean, do you guys get along?
No.
No, huh?
Hello. Okay.
I didn't know that. You seem nice to me.
You know what? We siblings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think... Listen, in general, with friends and lovers and siblings and parents, you're not always going to get along because everyone has a different point of view.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and when you are when you live together and you grow up together, you have patterns in pathology. You install the buttons in each other and you know how to push those buttons to get under their skin. So
that's interesting. So it's always been like that between you
two? No, you know, I think when you get older and... it's just, I don't know, sibling rivalry. You know, these are things that exist,
that's
I guess.
Terrible.
No, it's fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, because I've got two brothers.
I still love my sister.
You know? Yeah.
And I'll kill anyone, you know, fucks
right.
with her.
Oh,
but the reality is, like, you don't always have to get along. And I think that's what builds relationships, too. If we always got along, it would be very boring.
Nah.
I think so. Oh, let's
it's
kumbaya.
Family. What the hell? But, no, I mean, look, no, I'm just suggesting to you, look, the people that that really matter at the end of the day, when everybody that claims to be a friend or whatever, they kind of like leave, family stays. You know, if family is together, because like my mom says, blood is thicker than water.
Yeah.
You know, and blood is blood, you know, but it's family. It doesn't matter what you do.
Right.
So like, for example, like right after the funeral, you know, with my two brothers, we got very close during that week, you know, and I can't see how it would be bad. We sat and we had some complaints against each other and shit like that, you know, but the point is we actually sat, we let everything out, and then in the end, everybody understands each other, you know, and it's communication. That's
always
what it's about, you know.
Yeah. Well, if there's not great communication in the family.
Yeah, right.
Then it's like, then it's dynamic.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
then
fun.
It's a reality show.
Yeah.
So it's just the two of you as siblings?
Yeah.
Then? So no other...
Not that I know of.
Okay, I see. Okay.
And I don't know on whose part. I always joke with my mom. I said, you know, there was a picture of a baby growing up next to you on a nightstand that doesn't look like any of us. And she says, no, that's your sister. But that would always be fun, I think.
Yeah.
To like discover that you have a sibling that you never knew.
That's true, right?
That
would be cool.
That would be fun.
Some people get irritated at their parents, though, for not revealing it earlier.
Whatever.
You know?
I was just having a conversation about this because you can look up your ancestry and you can look and they say people often find out they have siblings, long lost siblings through that website.
Yeah,
can you imagine you're on the website and you're like, oh my God.
I would love it. I would think it's so much fun. Yeah. And I would like celebrate it, you know, like the whole anger thing. It's like, you can't hold people hostage to their past.
No.
Yeah. You know, so what? You had a baby 30 years ago, you didn't want to tell anybody. I get it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, that makes sense. But yeah, back then it didn't. But we started talking about your family a little bit before, and I wanted to save it for the show. But your family owns Delmonico's in New York, right? Mm-hmm. I've never been, but from what you've described and other people have described, it sounds like a big deal. Right? So tell us a little bit about the restaurant.
So flashback to 1827.
Wow.
Memorable Monday.
That far ago?
Yeah, memorable Monday. 1827 is when Delmonico's originated in New York.
Wow.
And it was known as America's first fine dining restaurant. First, it was a bakery, and then things progressed, and it turned into a restaurant.
So was that like great-great-great-grandfather of yours or something?
No, that's the Delmonico family, which the brothers came from, the Swiss-Italian brothers came. They started this. And then 1923, things started getting bad. But naturally, you know, with every action, there's a reaction and there's a flow. So 1923, they actually closed the original restaurant. And my grandfather came to America in the 1900s with my great-grandfather. And he loved the industry. I don't know where he got the restaurateur bug. But as a young boy, he came to America and wanted to have a restaurant in America. And so, and he came from, you know, they came from a very good family in Italy, a noble family in Florence. So it wasn't like, you know, like this, I grew up in the kitchen of some Italian restaurant in the mountains. Or, you know, it was like he had, you know, they were wild, they were well off. So he, it was a dream.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of people who came to America obviously had that dream, and his was to have a restaurant. And he started off working at other restaurants, and then in 1926, he bought the Delmonico building downtown on Beaver and South William Street resurrected it.
Wow.
You know, and without him, really, I we're doing a book right now, Becky Diamond and I, who's the author of some really great books, Mrs. Goodfellow, which was America's first cooking school. She was the first cooking, it was the first cooking school. And then also The $1,000 Dinner, which is about a restaurant in Philadelphia and Delmonico's having basically the first Iron Chef battle in the 1800s.
Oh, wow. That's
to
cool.
See who was going to win the dinner for this man who then was $1,000. Today would have been like $35,000 dinner. So Becky joined me to co-author the book. And we learned a lot. I mean, this has been, the book on my end has been a 10-year process writing this book. And I brought Becky on about a year ago. And we are just like discovering some amazing
cool
facts.
Is that, huh?
Yeah.
I know.
That's
I'm waiting for my results from 23andMe to sort of
Well, you know, the thing about Italy is that
you know
they
so
keep
much
everything.
About your hair. I'm like, I need to see.
Yeah,
Googling
well, Italy
my name
keeps
more.
Everything in the catasto, they call it.
Okay.
And it's like you go there and you can find, like, we've dated back to the 1400s, our family. And it's like so much of that stuff is documented. It blows my mind.
Wow.
Yes.
Very
that
is cool, man. Very nice.
You know.
Yeah. In fact, the funny thing is that my brother did this, and he discovered a pretty large part Italian in him. So that would probably be
and if
probably
it's not.
Find out that, yeah.
Then if it's not.
Yeah. No, but I think it's like a small percentage, you know,
yeah.
Not like from a mom or a dad. But no, the thing is that my dad was born in Greece, and Greece is right there. So
right. There's
a possibility Italians could have
Mediterranean.
Mixed with,
you know,
like because all the Jews in that part of Europe had been expelled from Spain in 1492.
Yeah.
You know, so they all spread around Europe and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they must have all had the same origins or similar origins.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the funny thing is that, you know, 500 years later, my father was still raised on pseudo-Spanish language, you know. It's called Ladino.
Right, right.
Which is like, you know, Spanish mixed with a little Hebrew and stuff. But essentially, so, and he was born in Greece. So where does Spain come from, you know? That's what I'm saying. They were all expelled.
Right.
The year Columbus left for America,
yes.
1492.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you know, they had the Inquisition back then.
And fucked a lot
stuff.
Of shit up after.
Yeah, hey, we're here, aren't we?
Are we really?
I don't know, man. I think this is the greatest nation in the world.
Oh,
say what
is.
You will.
No, you know, I love this country. You know, we were saying I have a home in Italy and Italian roots and all things. There is nothing like the convenience of America.
Nothing.
Yeah,
that
and not
so
just the convenience,
true.
But
you
know
it makes
what?
A big difference. Because when you need to go to Home Depot at 10
true.
O'clock at night because the pipe breaks, you can get it.
Right.
Simple things like that that make living easier is what this country provides.
Right.
That's true. A lot of convenience for sure,
yeah.
But a lot of opportunity too, you know, and a lot of freedom, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, you know, what people don't realize is the more government you have, the less freedom the individual has. You know, it just, that's how it works, you know, and everything. I mean, look at the government being involved in the weed market right now, you know. Suddenly everything's more expensive, everything's more regulated. You can't get weed from jars anymore. It's all prepackaged. It's all this. Prices
so
go
unnatural.
Up. Yeah, I mean, you know, so people wanted the government to make it legal. Now the government is in your life and they complain, why are they regulating it like this? Well, that's what happens when government comes in, you know. So that's why I love the freedom of America. And obviously I'm not the only one because I'm not the only one that immigrated here, but millions of people do.
Right.
And why do they? You know, because it's the best place in the world to live, in my opinion. Okay, but anyway, back to this stuff. So the restaurant happened and everything.
So then 1926, speaking of the government, this is during Prohibition.
Yeah,
this
right.
is during a recession.
So no
this is during a depression. You have war. You know, it's like all this stuff is happening.
And that's true. Like, and right?
And he was like, I'm going to do this. Wow. And my grandmother would go with my father's like baby trolley filled with alcohol and push it into the restaurant. And they ran a speakeasy.
Really? Oh,
and what was interesting about the speakeasy is that he really tested the menus because he had access to all the original menus from the 1800s. So if it weren't for him, really, the restaurant in Delmonico's wouldn't exist.
Right. Yeah.
The building was slated to be knocked down. This was you know, like the gangs of New York. This was those points, the four corners. And Delmonico's, the building was slated to be knocked down. He loved the building, eventually purchased the whole building. And it was really fascinating that during the speakeasy, he created Delmonico money, which was like monopoly money that people would give you the American dollar and you would get these in return. So there was no tracking of the facts of,
like
of liquor. Wow. Totally.
Wow. So, the original.
But you know, you have to do, like, if you have a dream and if it's your authentic dream and it's your passion, you have to do whatever you have to do to make it happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he did. And the restaurant now, they celebrated 180th anniversary last year.
That's crazy.
Here's what's even going to blow your mind even more. And in the 1930s, my grandfather created the wedge salad that we know it today.
Oh my gosh, love the wedge.
Right? So that's my grandfather. And then also Oysters Rockefeller, Baked Alaska, Eggs Benedict.
What?
These were all originated.
Really?
Yeah, Delmonico's.
Well, so there's a lot of history there.
Oh, you know, just a little.
Mind blown.
About 180 years of history.
Yeah.
No, I'll have to make sure next time I'm in New York to check it out, you know, because now I know about it. I know the history.
Out.
But will I be able to afford it?
Oh, you get a family discount.
Oh, yeah.
10 years here on LA Talk Radio. I think I can get you a steak.
No, but normal people, it's pretty expensive.
No,
right?
You know what? Here's the thing. People eat shitty food every day. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Save your money to have a really good meal.
Right.
At least once in your life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Put the Taco Bell down. And I love me some Taco Bell. That's the funny part. Like, I grew up having caviar and steak. And there's nothing like a Taco Bell. I see that bell. I'm like, ring that bell at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'll have a chicken chalupa. But you know what? Oh, I always encourage people to experience so many different things. Life is to experience things.
Yeah.
So Delmonico's is an experience.
Yeah.
And
that's true, right?
You know, so and here's the reality, too. You can go sit in the bar if you don't want to sit in the main dining room, and the menu prices are a little bit different. But there's a great family now that actually owns it. And the smart thing to do is sit back and not own a restaurant. You know, and like, you know, you're saying how your father died.
Right.
My father died when I was 8 years old, and it took like 20 years. It was always like the fuck you. I was so pissed that he died.
Wow.
And then it was like the fuck you turned into the thank you.
Yeah.
I was at an ashram.
Always.
You know, it's just it takes that time and that moment as to when. And I was at an ashram in South Florida, and I was just like hanging out, chilling, meditating, whatever. And it dawned on me, like, my father's death gave me my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this the other day, and so I was like, what does that mean? I'm like, if he hadn't have died when I was 8 years old, I wouldn't be where I am right now. Mm-hmm. I would have been chaining a ball in the restaurant. I would have been running a restaurant. And that wasn't my life path.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, that was like the gratitude for my father, like acknowledging something or something greater than what was to die when I was 8 years old. I was like, thank you. Like, I get it now.
Yeah.
And I've been able to be here for 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah. And that's tough. I mean, to at 8 years old, I can't even imagine, or even at your age, you know. I mean, for me, it's
at any
like,
age.
Yeah.
When you lose a parent at any age.
It is, you know. I mean, yeah. I've known
well, let me tell you something trippy. I was at a dinner last night with one of the producers from Making a Model, the new Yolanda Hadid show.
Yes.
Jessica was on my show last night. She's one of the stars in the show. And she's writing a movie, and there was this part of the movie, screenplay rather, that the mother died, but the mother had a twin sister. So I was like, that really blew my mind. Like, imagine if my mother had a twin sister and my mom dies. Now this woman who looks like
exactly
my mother,
like
sounds
right.
like my mother,
wow.
but is not my mother, is still present.
Right.
That'd be trippy.
Very trippy.
And it blew, like last night.
I'd probably be a huge bitch to her.
You see?
You know what I mean? Because you'd be like,
who knows?
You're not my mom.
Or just embrace it.
Not necessarily.
Right,
I mean,
or embrace
if they were
it. Like,
close.
Yeah.
I mean, I know close twins and they look alike. And they get along so great with the nephews and nieces, you know?
Yeah. Well,
so, I never thought of that, though. It might be like the best thing for them, actually.
Yeah,
know,
very healing.
Right? Wouldn't it be amazing?
Because twins really know each other, you know? But yeah, whoever, you know, I mean, the thing is, death is always hard. It's a big loss. It leaves a vacuum. And I can't even imagine what it was like for you to deal with it.
Well, you know, listen, growing up too, I've always gone a different route. I mean, you know, I was the Pied Piper. I beat my own drum and make my own path and create my own reality. So for me, you know, I've always heard this scripture that it goes back to Vedic times of, for the soul, there's neither birth nor death. It's eternal, everlasting. Right. So when you think of that aspect, that for the soul, there really is no birth or death. It's everlasting and eternal.
Right.
That's when you can realize, like, okay, so we're just here temporarily and then we go.
Yeah.
You know, there's such like a negative on death, I think, in so many countries and cultures and religions and whatnot. Death is like the ultimate. It means you lived your life.
Right. You know? No, but the thing is that, and that's exactly what I believe, and there's facts to this. That's what created religions in the first place,
right.
The fear of death.
Yes.
What happens to us after we die, you know? It's like, and because it's funny how the moment my dad died, it's like the first thing is, okay, what are we supposed to do, you know? What's the tradition? What's the ritual? What's this? What's that? So,
and, but Jews make it hard.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you got to bury him tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the Catholics.
Within 24
like,
hours.
Take a week, have a party, view the dead body for so long, have some cake, have some coffee. Right. You guys get intense.
Yeah, you got to do it right away because they feel that you have to release the soul, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know.
And that's the most difficult, I think, is the 24 hours because it's death, then it's like burial.
Right.
There's like the grieving. It's like, okay, but when do I grieve?
Right.
Well, you grieve.
When you go through,
Yeah, that's why they give you the 7 days and 30 days.
I feel like I went through grieving backwards. Or you know how they're like, I just feel like I went through, like, because my mom was sick.
Okay.
So when she passed away, I almost felt a little
relief. Yeah,
then,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Like devastation, but relief. And then I kind of went back to work and I was like, okay. And then I think I went backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went through.
Until it hits just, you, right?
Yeah. And then you probably are still going through it for I don't even know how long. Yeah. But, yeah, it's a crazy
when they're
process.
Sick, when they're sick, it's hard, you know, because you have mixed feelings about it. And especially when they already say they want to die, you know. And
you have to respect that.
Right. You know,
but we're so, like, you know, and that's where selfishness comes in. You know, my grandmother, Letty, she's been on the show a bunch of times on Max and Friends. And yoga instructor, like for 40 years, flew single engine planes, tangoed. We would go out. She would drive home at 4 a.m. when I was so tired to drive. And she had a stroke recently. And I'm like, and she wanted DNR, right? Do not resuscitate. They didn't have the papers there. They resuscitated her. And now I'm just like,
oh, gosh.
I don't want to say on air what I want to do.
Yeah.
But I just, I kind of want to like just put the pillow on her head. And like, she's like, looks at me. I'm like, please die. Cause this is not who you're supposed to be.
Yeah, some people just don't want to be sick.
Oh, it aggravates
you know?
Me.
And they don't want their children or whatever to carry
when there's
that.
So much vitality and life in someone.
Yeah.
Like, let them die. But there's this insanity too, that we have this connection of longevity.
Right. That we want to keep
longevity?
People alive.
Even
you know?
Ourselves.
Right.
No, smoke, do drugs, have fun. Like, those are the shitty years you're cutting off.
Right.
But like, and after they die, you have experiences. Like, I had crazy experiences where you just know, like, there's something more. And
did
and
you get any dreams?
I got dreams.
Did you? Yeah. Have
crazy
you had
dreams
yet of your father?
I don't. Maybe. I don't remember my dreams.
But try to be conscious of that.
Right.
Because in the morning when you wake up, before you just do things, like, really take a couple of minutes in the morning to try to remember. Because there's always, those are like, because I remember, I really never dreamt of my father.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if I do now, it's really, it's like, it's it like enlightens me.
Wow,
so think, you know,
cool.
Try to
yeah.
tune into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of theories about the soul and everything, but I think that's what, even if it doesn't exist, it's when we tell ourselves that, then it makes us feel better. It gives us hope, you know, because you don't want to believe someone is just gone forever. Now, but my big question is, you know, when they say the soul still, this soul is going to meet her father in the afterlife and all this. It's like, but if we're a soul, we've been many people. Why would you necessarily stay the same one? You know that. You know what
this
I'm saying?
This is a deep theological discussion on a Monday morning.
I mean, either the soul is this or it's
good
that.
Good morning,
you
know? LA.
Right. Good morning, LA. Let's talk about death. But you know what's funny? It's like, think about like a woman who, or a man who died and left his wife behind, and the wife is, you know, lived another 20 years. that soul has already found someone else.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And now here comes your fucking wife. You're like, I was so happy to die and finally get away from you.
Yeah, right?
Like, now you're here in heaven with me. I've already found someone else and moved on.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck? So that's why, for me, it's kind of, I always have speculation as, like, do we go to this heaven where we're all hanging out there? And right. if so, like, do we meet other souls?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, your wife now shows up, and it kind of like, rains on your parade a little bit in heaven. Right. Like, I thought this was heaven.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think the soul...
That's a good movie.
The soul is not necessarily going to be the last person it was. You know, that's
right,
what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, what you if know, you were like Cleopatra or something?
And
some,
well,
you know,
why does everyone want to be Cleopatra?
I don't know, because I was Cleopatra. She's famous.
I was Joan of Arc.
Yeah.
No, you were like, for me,
exactly,
the best...
You're just a peasant.
The best answer is, you know what? I don't know.
Yeah.
And when you don't know, anything is possible.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That.
I don't know. I feel that life is a gift that we get, but it's for a limited time only. You know, you don't get to keep that gift forever. You get it for a few, 70, 80, 90 years, and then you give it back. You know, but
Sam, this beard is making you very, very into, like. You
no, I'm always like that. You haven't listened to the shows, but
I remember your. Listen, I've been here 10 years, Sam. Yeah, I remember your shows when they first
changed.
Started.
Yeah,
you're like
yeah,
Mr. Miyagi,
but that's grown.
And Karate Kid.
He is. Sam, this is. You sound like you're on Max and Friends.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I've had a cool father to learn from.
That's
I mean, look, my father's had Parkinson's for about 10 years now.
That's tough.
So, you know, you see him fading away slowly, you know. But he told me, he says, look, I lived a full life. Now, every day is a bonus for me.
Yeah.
And that's how he lived it, you know. So even though, I mean, he got to the point where he was totally needy of help, you know, people need to change him and all that stuff. I mean, imagine when you get to that age.
I don't want to imagine.
When you're like a baby again, you know.
But what's the greatest lesson you learned from your father?
My father, well, there's a lot, you know, but I think mainly the first one comes to mind is be honest with people, be kind to people, you know, things like that, really. And if he didn't tell us that, at least he practiced it, you know, and I think that's where it came from, hard work, you know, the work ethic, a lot of things, man. I mean, my brother wrote a little eulogy on Facebook, and you just realize how many things we learned from my dad. You know?
Yeah.
He was very ambitious. I mean, he came out here. He came from poverty and moved to the rich side of town, like almost in New York, moving to the up to the Upper West Side or something, you know.
What was your father's name?
Shlomo.
And the reason,
Shlomo?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's Solomon.
Yeah.
Like Solomon.
And you know, there's
yeah.
a great African proverb that says, every time you say my name, my spirit shall live.
Really?
That's why I asked you that. So it's like, we don't have to forget them. You know, and it's like the reality, if it's comforting, if it's really true or not, like, the presence of them is always here.
Yes.
So acknowledge the dead, because that's ancestral.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like, this is who made you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's like, what's up?
And I'm so much like him, you know? Yeah, yeah. So it's very cool. And yeah, we learned a lot from him, man. I mean, really, they came from a time where the two families shared a house. There was not enough food for everybody, you know, and they just hang out on the streets all day, you know, the kids and stuff.
And look at you. So, this is what, yeah, look, you're the testament to him, though.
Yeah.
Probably.
Because
yeah.
you have established yourself. You have an amazing, look, I mean, LA Talk Radio is an empire now here for 10
right,
years.
Right.
You know, and like,
yeah, and,
this
and
is
I mean,
amazing. You're
and
a
that's
great
the
testament.
Thing, you know, and I keep thinking about that when I was young. We lived in an area where my dad, his business was like sheet metal fabrication and stuff. So he made kind of like metal products, right? Manual work.
Yeah.
You know, manual work. But he moved to a part of town after he saved up some money where all the rich people are. So everybody's engineers and doctors and things like that, right? And lawyers. But let me tell you, it affected me as a child because I had to lie about what my dad did because I was kind of embarrassed. You know, everybody's like educated and stuff like that. And my father's doing manual work. But the funny thing is, he's made the biggest leap of all of them, right? Because he came from poverty.
Nothing.
He was able to buy in the same area that they live. And as a kid, though, you don't understand. You just want to fit in with everybody. But in hindsight, my dad was the first one to start taking overseas trips, you know, when it started becoming more affordable in Israel in the 60s, 70s. One of the first people to get a car.
Wow.
TVs, you know, telephones, all these things that just came into being when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so.
No, the joke is on the neighborhood.
Yeah, you know?
You're like, your dad, like, I'm like, I'm, how you doing? My dad took us here. But move on up.
My dad had the one thing that made him restless all the time, and that is he wanted to move to America, you know? So he and his brothers would constantly talk about it all the time. But the funny thing, part of his plan was to send me here at 16 alone. And I stayed with relatives. But think about that for a moment. I mean, I had to become an adult at 16, right? I had some resentment over the years about that. I felt this was like the ultimate abandonment to send your 16-year-old across the world and stuff.
He gave you the best gift.
But he did. He did, you know? And this allowed us to unite again.
He trusted you, though.
Because
that's a big thing. To send a 16-year-old off to another country, he had trust in you.
He did.
That you would be okay.
Right.
Because if he didn't, then that was just fucked up.
Everybody told me you'd be back in 2 months.
And,
you know?
And here you are how many years now?
41 years later, you know?
Wow. No, that was trust.
Yeah, no.
That was a trust.
That was, and it was a lot of responsibility. Mm-hmm. But then again, you know, usually firstborns do have a lot of responsibility, you know, because everybody expects everything from you, you know. But he had that dream about coming to America, and they were here for a while. But they made the mistakes that many immigrants do, and that is buy things for cash. And here you don't do that, you know. So you eat up all your cash and shit, and then you realize, wait, I need credit in this place, you know. So
I think
anyway,
that's good, though.
Yeah,
because
but
when
let me
see
tell
someone
you, but,
pay with cash or with like a debit card and not a credit card, I'm like, this person has money.
Yeah, they have money, exactly.
And they so broke they can't get a credit card.
Yeah. But when you buy everything for cash, you don't build your credit. And, then, you know, you can't do anything.
And then you don't become a slave.
You definitely need credit.
to the credit industry.
Especially today, you know.
Yeah.
So there were times when my mom would complain to him. She'd say, you blew all our money, and we're not going to have retirement and stuff. And then, you know what? Thank goodness they've saved up enough. And like, real estate and stuff, just a couple of houses that they had in Israel, and took care of their retirement. I'm telling her today, I said, you see, you complained to him, look how great he took care of both of you.
Right.
Where you both have a caregiver, you're living in your own house, we're here all the time, my brother and I and stuff, so... You know, what else would you want?
But that's what wives are to remind you.
Yeah, right.
You take everything. Meanwhile, I have everything.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, so that's weird.
Yeah, it's life.
Yeah. So, Max, let's promote your show a little bit.
Oh.
When is your show on?
Max and Friends every Sunday night here on LA Talk Radio. Go to latalkradio.com. There we have 10 years of archives almost.
Wow.
On latalkradio.com/Max.
You must be taking up our whole server just for your show.
I probably am.
The whole hard drive.
You know, I had a conversation last night with Dean. I'm like, listen, everyone thinks this is an easy gig, you know, and I remember doing this at the beginning on my own, not knowing what I was doing. My first guest was Chocolate Thunder, you know, Daryl Dawkins. I was like, I was sitting, and I was in Connecticut even.
Yeah, yeah, he was doing it remotely.
And this would be Sam. Wow. Sam would be like, will you please get a fucking decent mic?
I know, he'd sit there, he sounded like he was
you
in the
hear,
hall.
Like, the
because I was in this huge sunroom with all glass windows
that's
and
what I
sleep
thought.
Floor.
That's
exactly
thing
what
I've
it sounded like.
Peacock taxidermy.
That's
you were,
what
like,
it sounded
following
like.
Your dream.
I had no idea what I was doing, but all I knew is it felt good.
Yeah. And look, you were a pioneer. I mean, you realized the idea of a radio show 10 years ago. I mean, people are only now waking up
and not just
to
a
that
radio
podcast
show.
And stuff. You
like
know?
An internet base that the whole world could listen. Hear me on.
Yeah.
Right,
you know, everyone's like, oh, you're doing internet radio. I'm like, really? Because you're doing local radio.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah,
heard
that's
internationally.
The future, you knew. Yeah.
And here I am 10 years later. So the show is a variety show. We have everyone from The Housewives to Orange is the New Black, CSI Miami, like celebrities and all gossip and fun stuff. But we kind of turned away from the gossip and the celebrity a little bit to going to like the Oprah Super Soul 100 teachers, Gordana Bernard and Valerie Love and Nanda G and Panache Desai. So you never know what you're going to hear.
Yeah,
you know, people tune in. The funniest emails that I get are like, oh, we had such a great time listening to Max and Friends last week with Gordana Bernard and her book, #KnowTheTruth. And they're like, and then we heard that like, You had like some prostitute on, like some ex-prostitute. I'm like, everyone, but that's the beauty of my show. Yeah. Everyone has a story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And my platform is let their story be told.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't judge that's anybody. Cool. Come on my show, let's have fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Max is the coolest guy ever, and you connect.
Ever.
Thank you.
Yeah, but connect with me on Twitter, at Max Tucci.
At Max Tucci, that's easy to find.
Yeah.
T-U-C-C-I.
Like Gucci, but with a T.
Ah.
Wow. Oh, tagline. That would be your Housewives tagline.
Right. But no, I have to say thank you to you, too. Because, you know, for me, I got it 10 years ago, but you created it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and like I was saying,
but
this is not
like
easy.
But people you believed in it, you know, and that's what helped me make a station.
Yeah.
It didn't stay just my show, you know.
No, I believed
saying?
In you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not in it. I believed in you. Like, yeah. You knew, like, 10 years ago for you to do this, you, like, were the trailblazer. I mean, how many people have, right. like, come and left and try to create this and fuck you, try to fuck you over? People right. do that.
Yeah.
You know, and I was saying last night to Dina, I'm like, you know, people think they could just come here, put on the mic, throw up the sound, and I have a show.
Right.
No, you have to book people. You have to not have dead air. You have to, like, do this.
And you
promote.
Have to be entertaining,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sometimes people will come with an outline written down, which is fine, you know, because that's what their topic
right.
requires. You know, they get into deep stuff, and that's fine. But the
show.
Bottom line is you got to be prepared to entertain people. That's
yeah.
what it's about,
yeah.
you know, being on here.
And be prepared to take risks and tell your truth. You know, when people come here, I'm always, before, like, I really, like you, I don't want to talk to my guests before, but
right.
what I always offer them is, like, no matter how crazy it sounds in your head, that's your truth.
Yeah.
Right. Share your truth. Don't be afraid to share it and tell it.
Yeah.
Tell your
that's
truth.
True. It takes
because
a lot
someone
of
out there will
feel
find
like
it.
I'm in church.
Yes, take it to church. But
hallelujah.
But you know, and that's the thing. It's like, always tell your truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if it's going to shake the foundations of other people's lives,
mm-hmm.
it's your truth. It's your reality, and you're the creator of your reality.
That's true, and that's why I've become more open, at least to people that are close to me, about mm-hmm. my life and things like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
because you have to give some of yourself in order to get back, you know?
Yeah.
And, you die and your story's
genuine.
Not told.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell your story
yeah.
every day. Share something about you.
That's true.
How people get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I always bring on the show a lot of different kinds of people, you know? Mm-hmm. Even something might not interest me, like... excuse me, I don't know, like horse racing or something. But if I brought them in, that would get me interested
right.
in that.
It would probably
you know?
Be interesting because they'd share why they
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, and they all have
and,
stories.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, even those homeless people out there, you know,
they
that
have stories.
You know, they all have stories. You know, every person has a story. And that's why it's hard to deal with when people die because they're taking the story with them, you know? It's not
yeah,
just...
that's true.
And I'm not talking just about close people, but think about soldiers, people in accidents, mm-hmm. people that are victims, you know, of war, whatever. It's like you extinguish lives by the millions.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. Each one is like you. You know, each one took years to build, and mm-hmm. we extinguished these lives with a bullet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing to accept, you know, but... what
but
can
that's
you do?
What that's we have LA Talk Radio, so you can tell your story.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, really. And I encourage everyone, tell your story, because if you don't, it will never be told.
Mm-hmm.
It
yeah,
will never
exactly.
be told.
Exactly. And not everybody's good at writing books, so you can have a radio show. And listen, we're promoting the shit out of it. Max always does that to me, man. He always promotes this, and
well,
I really
I'm
love
so grateful, you.
You
know,
yeah,
like,
no,
really,
I'm really...
How many times could you have said, you know what, this show, you sound like shit with your microphone out there. This is not going to work out. But, you know, and it's like, but we learn, you know, we learn together.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, I mean, literally, publicists call me to say, can we have so-and-so on
yeah,
the show? Can
yeah.
we have this one on the show? It's really created a brand. Max and Friends has created a brand. So
that's what it is. I mean, I don't have to go looking for guests at all.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't had to for years,
yeah.
you know, because people come to you. I mean, so, and I'm always getting different people, different kinds of people. And it's always cool, you know.
It's
so,
fun.
Yeah. Well, Max Tucci, thank you so much for joining us,
it's
my friend.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And thank
it's
you.
Great to meet you.
So nice meeting you.
Thank you for having me. Oh, and happy Martin Luther King Day.
Yes.
Today.
Oh, yeah, it
day.
Is today,
big
right?
Day.
It's today.
Let's,
it's
yeah.
Let's be dreamers.
Let's,
everyone dream and dream big.
There you go. I like that.
Right.
I like that, you know.
Preach.
I mean, after all, we're all friggin' people, you know. It's just we are different colors, different models, different ages, different whatever, but we're still people, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We yep, that's
you know?
We all come from the
I've
same.
I've started comparing
place.
This to cars, you know. Like when you think of cars, they're all alike, but yet they're so different, right?
Yeah,
you have. you know, you have different color, different paint, different speed, different model, different everything, you know, and different feel
what
to it.
Car
but they're
you
still
mean?
Cars. Right. They still have four wheels, you know, and so they're still cars. And that's what I'm saying. We're all people, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
That's
all right, everyone. I see we have a couple of young guests outside. Those are Ronan's kids. They're so cute.
Can I leave you with a quote real quick?
Please.
That's what I do on my show.
Of course.
So it says, we are all humans until race disconnected us, religion separated us, politics divided us, and wealth classified us.
Amen.
Good.
I like
so
that.
Good.
You see?
Good
there you go,
man.
Yeah, follow Max. You'll get a lot of those, folks. Maybe sometimes
you'll feel
more.
So good about yourself.
Sometimes a little more than you want to, man. With a good morning, good karma every day. But it's good. It's good to wake up to. Christina, thank you so much for joining
thank
us. You're
you.
Amazing.
I had so much fun.
Of course. And thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, we love you guys. And we'll come back tomorrow.
Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.